Ms. Limited is start with the presentation by the authors of the bill, and then as soon as we, like yesterday, have a quorum, then we'll start with approving the minutes and formally bringing the bills before us. First up this morning is Representative Mahoney. If you could present the bill, and I think you probably heard me that we won't be taking any action until we have a quorum, but you can present the bill and then we'll just wait on it.
Do I have to go sit in the corner?
Until we have a quorum. So, Representative Mahoney, this is the wage theft bill.
You would like a brief summary of the bill, Mr. Chair? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's when we talked yesterday. Yeah. I think just maybe just as a reminder for at least the members that are here, this was in the omnibus bill, and we're taking these three bills up today to keep our options open with the Senate. So sometimes we refer to bills such as this as vehicles. We'll see what the intent is, if it'll be actually formally passed on the House floor. I think they might be. But just so people remember what the bill was about, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it would never be a vehicle because it is such a masterpiece. The wage theft bill is it's not simple. It is a complicated process, but we have tried to keep it as simple so that it is easier for the department to get folks' money back. Essentially what we are doing is we are requiring businesses to keep records. And if there is an accusation they have to turn them over to the department so they can investigate. If they choose not to, one of the big pieces of this bill in terms of new language is the power of subpoena, the power of a court order for entrance and inspection. There are a number of other issues in here, like what they have to share with the employee, such as actually in writing what they're getting paid, when they have to show up, some of the other things that you would normally expect, but apparently was never in law. It creates a misdemeanor for wage theft with a $1,000 fine. That's on the subpoena. If you don't turn over your records, you can be fined up to $1,000. On the second request, it's up to $10,000. This bill also prohibits retaliation for say it's firing, demoting, cutting hours, or something such as that. It creates it allows the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to issue a citation rather than a criminal charge for small dollar figures. Pretty plainly puts into place that if the commissioner finds that you are guilty of wage theft and the fine is being crafted, they are to take into consideration the size of the business and the seriousness of the theft. Some of the rest of that is I would say the piece that has been hardest for people to understand is what constitutes or why we put in, we kept the intent. You don't have to, when you're doing the citation, the commissioner does not have to find intent. So, Mr. Chair, what this bill does is give the department a stronger hand when they go in to investigate wage theft. And gives them the tools to find out the evidence, whether it's true or false.
Okay, are there questions then of Representative Mahoney? We're one short of a quorum, so One of the things.
Want me to talk some more? I can keep going, you know, any number of different.
One of the things we will need to do once we're able to convene is there is an amendment to align the dollars.
Correct.
With what's in the omnibus bill. So are there any questions of Representative Mahoney? Well, if not, if you can wait until we get one more person, and then we'll start to take action on the bill.
Certainly can, Mr. Chair.
And why don't we take then Representative Schultz, if you could present your bill. And we're going a little out of order because with Health and Human Services being the first up on the House floor, we need to make sure that staff is able to go up and get ready for the bill on the floor, the HHS bill. So,
okay.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the Ways and Means Committee. So House File 90 is the elder care bill that has gone through five committees. And this is the sixth committee stop, so I appreciate you hearing the bill. This is also included in the HHS omnibus bill that we're all here today. I do have an amendment, the A18 amendment, and the amendment basically includes the appropriations and some language that the advocates and the providers have been working on to get to a compromise position. So essentially the language in the amendment changes some of the licensure language that has been in prior versions of House File 90 to change licensure and not license these independent senior living facilities. This bill, Representative Liz Olson started working on this bill last session. It didn't get finalized, and this bill essentially addresses the maltreatment and abuse and neglect that our vulnerable senior citizens have been experiencing in assisted living facilities. Minnesota is the only state that currently does not license assisted living facilities. So this is a very important bill that we need to get finished finished and finalized this session so that our agencies can start working on the licensure language. There is a fiscal note that came out yesterday, and I believe it's in members' packets, and it is very similar to what was in the governor's appropriation, his proposed budget bill. And the money essentially goes to FTEs to conduct a licensure, conduct surveys, to measure quality, and to address complaints and to increase the FTEs for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman's Office.
Okay, any questions? And we now have a quorum, by the way, so thank you. In fact, what I will do, just to get everything before us, and just stay at the table and we'll revert back to Representative Mahoney in a moment, but we have the minutes to approve. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes from the April 24th meeting.
Okay, that motion is before us, and one of the things that... on the minutes? Oh. We did list some members as being absent, and we should have them listed as excused. So we will just incorporate that change when we approve the minutes. So any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. We have then bill before us, or we need a motion to put the bill before us. Who was on that division? That's what I'm doing.
Which one are we on?
Which bill?
Representative Liebling, did you have a question of?
Well, Mr. Chair, thank
you. I'm just looking for somebody who's on that division to move the report.
Which bill are we on?
Yeah, which bill are we on, Mr. Chair?
We're on yours. Okay. Representative Schultz, being that she was at the table, I said
okay.
We might as well finish that one up.
Okay.
Okay, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to note for the record that not a single GOP member was here until just right this moment. So I just wanted the record to reflect that until we had a quorum of DFL members, that not a single GOP member was in the room. But with that, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of the Health and Human Services Finance Division Report for House File 90.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. Representative Liebling.
Thank you. I move that House File 9, oh, I'm sorry. We have an amendment.
The A18.
So I would move the A,
do I need to move the bill first? Although, Representative Liebling.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
And then we'll take the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I move that House File 90, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register. And then I would move the A18-1 amendment on behalf of Representative Schultz.
Okay, and that motion is before us. And that essentially puts the funding in the bill, and one of the reasons that we're here this morning. So any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. We did have a presentation of the bill, but are there any questions then of Representative Schultz? Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let the record show that the House majority didn't have a quorum. Last I looked, they're in the majority. It's their job to have a quorum. And so just let the record reflect that they did not have a quorum. The Republicans are here, but they did not have a quorum. It's their job to get a quorum. They have the majority.
I don't think we need to debate the quorum right now, but we did have a quorum when we convened a few moments ago.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just responding to the Liebling comments that I think are totally out of order, totally unprofessional, and totally unnecessary.
Let's try to move on this morning and get. We've got three bills before us. Get that done. But at any rate, any further discussion on the bill? Okay, Representative Liebling, would you care to renew your motion?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 90 is amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us.
Oh, did we vote on the amendment, Mr. Chair?
No.
No. Did we? Yeah, we voted on the amendment.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As amended, yeah.
We checked. We did vote on it. I guess people's minds were on something else. This is the renewal of the motion to recommend it pass as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll revert back to thank you.
And
thank now
you.
We'll revert back to Representative Mahoney. And who will be making that?
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Division Report for House File 6.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Mr. Chair, aye.
Opposed,
amendment.
Motion carried. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 6, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Mahoney, you had your hand up.
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment
that'll
that
be
has
the next
to be put
item
on.
Of business, yeah.
And I have to make the fiscal note came out after the deadline for the amendment, so the numbers are wrong in the amendment, and I'm wondering if I can make an oral amendment to the amendment.
We're just trying to align this with what passed Representative Mahoney
I'll let the fiscal
in the omnibus bill last night.
I'll let the fiscal folks figure it out, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
That's fine, so I don't need to do this. Good. I was wrong, Mr. Chair. Sorry about that. It is early in the morning.
Okay.
And I had 11 hours.
Because the original amendment was just to align it with the bill that passed yesterday.
That's
on House
fine,
floor,
Mr. Chair.
Just as we did with Representative Schultz's bill. So, Representative Olson, would you care to move the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move the A16 amendment on behalf of the author.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We now have the bill before us as amended. As I mentioned earlier, Representative Mahoney presented the bill a few moments ago. We were waiting for a quorum. So any questions on the bill? Okay, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill relating to wage theft has some language in it about intent. How do we know that we can properly educate this as far as defining what intent is and what maybe just an accidental mishap might be?
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, I'm sorry, I didn't hear all the pieces to what you were just saying. This has a horrible acoustics in this particular room. The intent piece is in because it is in the criminal piece. So if you're stealing a lot of money from folks, they have to try to prove intent. And the example I use in the bill, the piece in the bill is $35,000 where it steps over into the enhanced penalty. When you have a, trying to think of the correct word, administrative hearing, you're likely, let's say for some reason someone steals $150 of my wages. What this bill does is issue a ticket much like a parking ticket. And you are given, I believe it's 5 days, without looking in the bill real quickly, it's 5 or 10 days to make good with that employee, and that ticket goes away. It's done. It's all over with. Much like if you got a parking ticket, like when I was much younger, the number 20 came into my. I can't remember the last time I paid a $20 parking ticket, and that is on some record someplace. But it doesn't affect my insurance. It doesn't affect my driving record or anything like that. That's essentially what this does. We are trying to move this as much into administrative hearings and get people their money back rather than in today's world, they can be caught waiting up to 6 months to 9 months to get their money back. The majority of this is small dollars. Somebody made a mistake or somebody just didn't, they went bankrupt, whatever it might have been. And if you are a low-wage worker, and you have $350 taken from your check or not given your check, you can get evicted.
Representative Torkelson was Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney. I appreciate your passion on this issue. It's become evident to me that this has been something important to you for the last many years. But with regard to the intent issue, is there any provision in this bill that requires, at least at a minimum, that the aggrieved, the person who's claiming that they were cheated or that there was wage theft, makes an effort to make such a claim and get it rectified? Is there any procedure that happens first prior to actually getting this so-called ticket that you're referring to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hertaus. Sure. The department has to start making phone calls, has to do a field visit, whatever it may be. They have to track it down. They have to make sure that there's just cause for issuing that ticket. Just like a police officer can't issue you a ticket. Well, he probably could, but they probably wouldn't stand up in court without a radar gun or some kind of evidence that you were speeding or I'm not sure if they take a picture of where you're parked, but I think they just go with the record that somebody's written it down. So the department does test these or investigate these.
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, Representative Mahoney, you're misunderstanding the intent of my question. My question is there any duty on the part of the aggrieved to go to the employer, go to the person and say, I think you've made a mistake and I'd like you to rectify this before you start calling in government and costing the taxpayers a lot of money to take care of a squabble that really should be resolved between two parties in a private contract?
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, I represent Hertaus, no.
None whatsoever?
No. I mean, I wouldn't go in and say to my neighbor that I know took my lawnmower. I want my lawnmower back if I was fearful of some kind of harm, whether it be fiscal or physical. I have the opportunity. I've paid my taxes. I can call the police officers and tell them to go investigate that, just as you can with a wage theft problem.
Representative Erdos.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Mahoney, I mean, we've got a lot of other areas in the area of commerce in this state where people have certain rights, and even in the case of contract law or construction, with the statutory home warranty, we've got provisions for the contractor right to repair, if you will, before somebody can make a claim. That you can't just simply claim something's a defect and then litigate over it rather than allowing an opportunity to remedy or fix a problem. We've got other areas of industries that we do those types of things. So I'm really surprised that there's not at least some stepping stone where somebody who's seeking relief doesn't at least have an opportunity to say, gee, I just hired a new bookkeeper and she doesn't apparently quite understand how the deductions are working. It looks like you're right. It looks like we did make a mistake. Shouldn't that be the responsible thing for people to resolve some of these issues beforehand, before you ratchet it up to the legal remedies?
Mr. Chair,
Representative
Hertas, in most instances, I'm sure if I as a construction worker, if I was working on one of your buildings, honest man, check your books, see that something's off, or show to me that I misunderstood, that would be the end of it. But there are certainly a lot of people out there that are not as honorable as you and I. And I am not going to put a young or a vulnerable person with a requirement that they go talk to a boss. I'm not sure if you are a bookkeeper or whomever it might be. Just a few months ago, one of those non-honorable types pulled a gun on the person he was stealing the money from at the end of the day. He chased down one of his workers, got hurt on a job. He got a call from somebody on the job site, so-and-so is heading to the hospital. He chased the car down and almost dragged the guy out of the hospital rather than let him get treatment. I certainly don't want his employee to have to go to that man and say, hey, I don't think you're paying me correctly. But two honorable people can work most of these things out. I've had wage theft done, and when I went to the contractor, eventually they figured it out. It took them about 10 days, and I could say a couple more about his office, but it would be irrelevant here. And it shouldn't have taken him 10 days. But he eventually said, oh, yeah, you're right. You are owed, I can't remember what it was, a couple hundred dollars or $300. And he paid me. And that's what's going to happen the overwhelming majority of times. But you can't ask somebody, you can't require somebody to go put themselves in harm's way to get paid.
Representative Erdos.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll end my questioning. I guess I just think this is something that shouldn't be invoked right away. I have concerns that a lot of small employers, rather than somebody who's, you know, should do the responsible thing and say, hey, I think you made a mistake on my paycheck, that suddenly somebody shows up at their door and is you know, it's like a small claims court, I guess, if you will, but that's what we have small claims courts for. So, anyway, thank you.
Okay, Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 6, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. No. We have Representative Lesh's House File 11, the earned sick leave. Representative Lesh.
Good
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Division Report for House File 11.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 11, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Okay, if you could, we've got the amendment. Yeah, we should move that next.
Mr. Chair, I move the A8 amendment on behalf of the author.
Yeah. Okay, any, that's the one that aligns the funding.
That's so, right. Mr. Chair, this puts it in the form that we passed last night.
Yeah. And that's what we've done with the other two bills. So any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Representative Lesh, if you could just give us a quick overview of the bill, and then we'll take any questions and hopefully get it done in time so we'll be upstairs by 9 o'clock.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I've been carrying some version of this bill since 2007. When we first introduced it. At that time, the only jurisdiction which had passed Earn Sick and Save Time was the city of San Francisco. That was the gold standard. And since then, we have had 8 states and dozens upon dozens of municipalities and other local jurisdictions that have passed a version of this bill. Some of those have come offline as an entire state. For example, 12 municipalities in the state of New Jersey no longer added to that total because New Jersey passed the bill in 2018. If you go and ask business owners of that state, they're really not griping about the effectiveness of this bill. It is the sky is falling statements ahead of time have mostly fallen by the wayside, and folks agree this is a good idea. The bill grants 1 hour of earned sick time for every 30 hours worked to address in Minnesota the 36% of working people or 930,000 Minnesotans who have no access to earn sick and safe leave when they get sick. It helps us ameliorate the issue of presenteeism, which as I stated last night is the effects of coming to work sick and infecting everyone else there, having a detrimental effect on the business owner's bottom line. I think that's we heard most of it last night, Mr. Chair. So, I'm not. Maybe I should just stand for questions.
I think that would be appropriate. We just wanted to make sure everybody knew which bill was before us, and we did have a thorough discussion actually on all three of these bills today. As I announced at the beginning of the meeting, the intent is to keep our options open as we move forward with these bills. So. Passing them out separately as well as being in the omnibus bill. So any discussion? Okay, seeing none, Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesh, I'm looking at some of the definitions on lines 2.16, 2.18, and 2.20. I'm wondering if you could help us understand the definition of a family member in this case.
Mr. Chair and Representative Schumacher, I don't have a copy of the bill in front of me, those definitions, but if you say help us understand the definition of a family member, could you state maybe an issue you had with one of the definitions? I'm not sure what you mean. Help us understand that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lesh, really it's my question revolves around the affinity piece of it there. Any individual related by blood or affinity. And then line 2.20, up to one individual annually designated by the employee, so we can designate family members.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, Representative Schumacher.
Sure, thanks.
I get it. Thank you. Sure, Davids. I know you conservatives, you guys are going to disagree with that. I get it. I'm not going to get into a social argument about that. But the effects that we've seen of how we are coming together to provide caregiving these days. Is not the expectation that we had in Norman Rockwell 1950s. Folks are coming together to take care of family members in that way, I think, helps the state overall. And so designating a person by affinity, I think, makes a lot of sense. When it's designated, I don't think that means it's going to be abused. to provide that caregiving. So that is our reasons for doing it. We think it's limited in scope and provides a fair opportunity for everyone, regardless of their not having family in the state or not being married. So that's our reasons for it. And I guess I would just say that based upon the social philosophy of this body, there are some folks who are just not going to agree with that, and I get that.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one follow-up question to that, and I can appreciate your answer on that one, even if I don't agree with it necessarily. But the part with that I guess on a technical point that I'm curious about is the individual annually designated. Is that something that can change from, could change every year for the same person, or what was the intent with that?
Well, Ms. Chair and Representative Schumacher, we didn't want anyone to be able to willy-nilly anytime they got sick just say, okay, this is my person. You know, it's on an annual basis, such as when you do your open enrollment, you designate your benefits, your beneficiaries. Our intent was to have it follow with that kind of open enrollment model.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesch, so you have to designate this in advance of something happening then, or can you do it after the fact? Or
Mr. Chair and Representative Schumacher, I don't know. I'd actually have to go look at that language again. Yes. The answer is yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lesch. This individual designation seems rather vague. So if I'm an employer, am I expected to keep a record of who's been designated by each of my employees as their annually designated family member?
Ms. Chair, Representative Torkelson, it's up to the employer about how they want to handle that. Remember that the way that the statute is formulated, just as any statute is formulated, none of this stuff matters until it comes into contention. So if the employer says, okay, you didn't give me the right person, I have a record of the person that you gave me, and if it's really going to get down to brass tacks like that, then yeah, they probably should be keeping a record. But it's up to the employer how they want to handle that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as an employer myself, I find this to be troubling that I'm expected to keep a record, and if it's not there, that somehow the employee can take advantage of this situation very, very easily. How do we prevent, how do we protect the employers in this case?
Representative Lesch. Mr. Chair, and Representative Torkelson, I'm an employer too, and I allot for earned sick and safe time. As a business model, as a practice. It has never been an issue for me. If we're going all the way down the rabbit hole to the point where, wait a second, who are you saying is your designated person? I think there are other problems in that business relationship because this is a substantial nuance of who you said your designee is and who it isn't. I realize that because of the number of employees in Minnesota, the problem could very well come up somewhere down the road, but I don't see this as a major issue with, you know, who gets designated and when do they get designated. If you see that as an issue, you know, I appreciate that, but I don't think this is going to be a major concern to most people. Further, something like this could be addressed in rulemaking with the department. If it is that much of an issue, they could put forth their proposed rule and ask for public comment. I don't expect they're going to be exhausting a lot of time on this, but I could be wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll quit with that.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 11, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carried. We will not be meeting tomorrow morning. Last night I said the good news was that we're meeting at 8 o'clock this morning. That was a bit of my subtle humor. But truly, we will not meet tomorrow. So that's the good news. So with that, meeting adjourned.